because a relationship is strained or even broken. Maybe that hope, Lord, is because of an addiction or struggling with a particular sin. Or maybe that hope, Lord, is just trusting that we know you and we're saved. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us today the words of hope through your word. I pray, Lord, that I would be a vessel of your truth. And, Lord, you would remove me. So, Lord, it would be your spirit that only speaks. Father, we thank you that you are our hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. So I had something happen to me probably about a couple of weeks ago, and I want to share it with you. And it's a true story. It's going to sound like something you'd see on Lifetime Network, but it's actually true. If you remember a few weeks ago, it was a cold, dark, rainy, snowy mix kind of a night. If you remember that night a few weeks ago, I think it was like a Thursday. And so I'm driving. I'm going to meet somebody for coffee. And so I'm driving my minivan down the road, and I've got the music on, and I'm thinking about a lot of things, and something darts out in front of my car. And I think, you know, is it a deer? Is it a bear? You know, is it a mountain lion? I have no idea what this is, but I know it's something. And then I hear that I hit it, and then I hear that it's underneath my vehicle. And I'm just, oh, I feel horrible. I have no idea what it is. So I stop the car, you know, I get out and I hear this yelping. And I'm like, it's a dog. And I thought the worst, my heart sank because I hit a dog. I've never hit a dog in my life. So I come out, I hear the dog yelping, and then I hear the dog barking. And then all of these neighbors start running out, and I'm asking them, literally in tears, is this your dog? I'm so sorry. He ran out. I'm so sorry. And they all said, this is not our dog. This is not our dog. And I don't know what to do. And the dog's under the car. And luckily, one of the neighbors who ran out must have worked for NASCAR because he had a NASCAR jack. I mean, it was like bigger than me. He's like, I'll get the jack, you know, and he comes out. And like he just starts pumping this thing. Another guy comes out and he just lays face down on the ground. Now remind you, it's cold and rainy and snowy, and he's like trying to pull the dog out. So one guy's raising it, another guy's pulling it. Well, somebody had called the police because they didn't know what was hit. Okay, so now all of a sudden I've got neighbors and now the police have shown up. Okay? You know, so I'm like, oh, I hope this dog is okay. So the dog gets up, right? And the dog's walking on all fours. So I'm like, okay, we're okay. There's a gash, but we're okay. And so then the police came and they're talking to the neighbors. What do we do? What do we do? And I said, I didn't see it. I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know. And they get the tag, right? So they get the tag on the dog. They call the dog. It's a vet's number. So the vet, you know, says, well, we'll call the owners. And so now the police officer comes over to me. And he's like, what happened? I said, well, I'm driving down the road, and this dog just breaks out, and, you know, I don't know what happened, and I'm so sorry. And he says, hey, let's get the dog and put him in the back of my cruiser because it's rainy and snowy and wet. And we said, in the back of your cruiser, I mean, the dog is muddy and smelly and bloody. And he's like, you should see who I normally put back there. He said, this is an upgrade, right? So he puts the dog in the back, and then he gets his pad out, right? You know, he gets his pad, and he walks over to me. Right, you know, and he says, what's your name? You know, and I'm like this. I said, Joe Slaybaugh. I said, Joe Slaybaugh is my name. J-O-E-S-L. No, I told him my name. I said, my name's Jeff. I'm thinking, I'm getting in the back of the cruiser with the dog, right? And he's like, you're fine. I'm like, I'm fine. And he's like, look, the dog is fine. It's an accident, no big deal. And like, you know, I'm still like, kind of pseudo-hysterical, and everybody's like, it's okay. Like, the neighbors are like, you need to calm down. Like, the dog is okay. Like, it was a God thing because the dog literally had to go under the car. I mean, it had to be absolutely perfect that the dog went under the car. And so I'm standing there, and it's raining, and it's snowing, and there's a guy with a huge jack that's kind of putting my car back down, you know, and the police are thankfully letting me go at this moment. And I thought, man, I am in a great community. Man, I love this community. I mean, neighbor helping neighbor, police not arresting the pastor. I mean, I was like, this is really a great community for me to be in, and I loved it. And we love our community, right? We love, whether you live in Bennington or whether you live in another part of Omaha or wherever you're from, we're proud of our communities. We love our communities. But the question we want to ask today is, what is biblical community? And what makes a biblical community great? Because we hear that term, biblical community, but what does it mean to be a part of a biblical community? And that's what we're going to start to take a look at today as we continue to go through our Believe series. Now, when you talk about a biblical community, there's only one logical place to start, God, right? You can't have a biblical community without God. But did you know God himself is a biblical community? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God is the first Trinitarian community in existence. But that's not the only community. Because we know when we read in Genesis that God not just created Adam, but formed Adam. If you look at Genesis 2:7, it says this, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So God formed, God created, God breathed life into Adam. And we see this theme of God's breath, God breathing life in the New Testament with the Holy Spirit. But there's nothing more intimate than a person's breath. So we see the intimacy with which God created Adam, which God formed Adam. And God created, God formed Adam for a purpose. And that is to be in relationship with him. God created Adam, and God created you, and God created me for us to be in relationship with God. And being in relationship with God is being in a biblical community. So Adam was formed to be a part of a biblical community, and being in relationship with God is the first part of understanding what a biblical community is. Being in a relationship with God. And being in a biblical community isn't just showing up for church. That doesn't automatically form a biblical community, and that doesn't mean you're a part of a biblical community. What makes you and I a part of a biblical community is that we are in relationship with God. And let's call that the vertical. We all have a vertical relationship with God. God is in heaven and we are here. So the first part of biblical community is vertical. Be in relationship with God. But that's not complete part of biblical community. God did not create us, and he did not create Adam to be alone. He wants us to be in biblical community with him vertically, but with others horizontally. So we go back to Genesis, and it says this. It says, "It is not good for man to be alone, the Lord said. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. See, God did not want Adam to be alone in community, so he had a suitable helper. Not better, not worse, but a suitable helper to do what? To help Adam in his vertical relationship with God, to worship God, to praise God, to serve God. Now that's the vertical part. Here's the horizontal part. God poured all of his love and his compassion and his mercy and his grace into Adam so that Adam could also share it horizontally. He could share God's love. He could share God's compassion. He could share God's mercy with Eve. See, there's a vertical part of biblical community, and that's our relationship with God. And then there's a horizontal part of our community where we share the love of God, the joy of God, the fellowship of God, the mercy of God with each other. And see, that's what Adam and Eve had. They were in relationship with God, vertically and horizontally. See, we can't have one without the other, or we're truly not engaging in biblical community. Sometimes people have a vertical relationship with God, but they have no horizontal. Well, then you're missing out on the fullness of biblical community. Sometimes people believe that they have it horizontally without having it vertically. You cannot have it horizontally if you do not have it vertically. See, biblical community starts with God at the center. It started at the center for Adam. It started at the center for Eve. And it starts with us. Because God doesn't want us to be alone in community. Think about it. God wants us always to be together. Think about how God has always been with his people. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with the Israelites in the temple. He's with us with the Holy Spirit being with us. Think how God sent the animals into the ark, two by two. How did Jesus send out the disciples? Two at a time. God has created us to be in community so that we can share his love, we can share his mercy, we can share his grace. That's the horizontal part. If we don't have the vertical part, we truly can't give the horizontal part. And see, that's the most important part of biblical community, is that we are created to be in a relationship with God, our vertical relationship with God. And once we are in a vertical relationship with God, then we can begin to have a true biblical community of horizontal relationships with other people. And that's what we see here. Now, we've talked about how important the vertical is. Let's flesh out that horizontal a little bit more. Let's flesh that out in a church context, right? And we start with the original church in Acts 2, because they really model what a healthy, biblical, horizontal community can look like. Let's read Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs they performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you notice the theme here, what Luke says in this passage? They were together. How many times does he use the word together? They ate together. They worshiped together. They prayed together. They studied God's word together. They were always together. See, biblical community is about being together. It's more than just Sunday morning. Biblical community is understanding that the church is not a building, a destination, or an event, but the church is a community of people focused on God together. And they were so dedicated, so devoted. They were always together. When we look and we really tear this passage apart, we see what biblical community horizontally looks like. They were right with God vertically. They were absolutely right with God vertically. They were right with others horizontally. And did you see what happens in that last verse? Let me read it to you again. When we are right with God vertically, individually, and we become right with each other horizontally, listen to this last passage. And it says this: they broke bread in homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Here we go. And they had favor of all the people. Favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The church gained favor with people outside of the church because they were right vertically and they were right horizontally. God added to their number daily those being saved. That people said, there is something about that community. I don't know what's going on in that community, but I want to be a part of it. And what was going on was that people were right with God personally and they were right with each other horizontally. And people want to be a part of that community. We all are a part of sub-communities. There are sports communities, music communities, business communities, academic communities. And we all have an eye into those communities that says, I want to be a part of what they're doing, or I don't want to be a part of what they're doing. And what we see in the early church is people write vertically, people write horizontally, and people said, I want to be a part of that. And when we look at this text, listen to what they did. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. What are the apostles' teachings? It's Christ's teachings pre- and post-resurrection plus the Old Testament. They were devoted to learning God's truth every day, every one of them. They were committed to fellowship outside of worship. They wanted to do life together. It wasn't just Sunday morning, how you doing, see you next week. It says, let's get together. Let's do life together. Let's walk with each other together. Third thing that is, they are passionate about communion and sharing meals. Because the Lord's Supper reminded them of who Christ is, what Christ has done, and what they are called to. They went out to eat, so clearly they had to be Presbyterian, right? Because there was food involved. They were together. They had meals together. Again, Luke is emphasizing this word, together. They were focused on praying together publicly and privately. And their prayers weren't just pray for my neighbor. They were kind of what I call bare naked prayers. Here's what's going on in my life. Here's my struggle. Here's my addiction. Here's my pain. Here's my brokenness. They prayed together and they gave to those in need. That if somebody in the biblical community had a need, didn't matter what it was, they would find a way to meet that. See, that is biblical community because it's right horizontally. And you cannot live that way unless you're right vertically. See, they were so right vertically that they could live right horizontally. And doing that, everyone in the community was on the same page. They were united in mind, in deed, in heart, in soul, in belief, and in practice. And people said, I want to be a part of that community. Have you ever tried to describe, well, people say, oh, well, you go to church. What's your church like? You know, and we come up with a lot of different ways to do it. You know, they've got great food and great music and, you know, they have all kinds of things. But do you know some of the descriptions of the biblical community? Let me read to you some of these descriptions found in Scripture of what the biblical community should be like. Romans 12, they were devoted to one another. Devoted. Not just, who is that? They were devoted to one another. Number two, they loved one another. Not just in words, but in deed. Number three, Romans 15, they accepted one another. They said, you know what, not everybody's perfect. People are going to make mistakes. People have different stress levels. People are a different season, but I'm accepted. They instructed one another in God's word. Not just, hey, let me tell you what you need to do. It's, here's what God's word teaches us. Hey, this may be helpful in handling that situation. Number five, serve one another. How can we serve one another? Whatever your need is, I'll do it. Carry each other's burdens. We all feel bad for our burdens, but how do we feel for others' burdens? We're called to carry them, to walk with people in that. Number seven, bear with one another in love. That means we got to put up with people, right? We got to put up with one another. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but we're called to put up with one another. Number eight, submit to one another. Nobody likes that word submit anymore, but we're called to submit. In Ephesians, it tells us that if we mutually submit, then nobody's lording over the other. What would that look like if we all submitted to one another? And then lastly, encourage one another. Encouragement goes such a long way. I mean, it goes such a long way. It will change a person's life. It'll change the course of somebody's life. Now, if all of those characteristics are tangible and visible, how would people not want to be a part of that community, right? And see, that's because the horizontal is right. And when we really go a little bit deeper and we understand some of the language here, like the fellowship they had, it's a word called koinonia. And that is deep fellowship. That is, I know not just your name, but I know your story, and you know my story. When they would gather together for meals, they would celebrate what's called the agape meal, which is the strongest version of the word love in the Bible. You know, that's why we do communion together. They studied God's word. They went through the scriptures. That's why we have life groups, so that we can go deeper into God's words. They prayed together. That's why we pray publicly in our worship service, because we want to corporately and as a community come together. It says that they went house to house because they didn't have a building. We don't have a building, so we go and we meet in a bar, a barn, and a bank on Wednesday nights. A bar, a bank, and a bar. See, it's not where you meet, it's what you do where you meet. And see, what happened was the people were worshiping together, and they made sure that nobody went without. That's why we have a vision pledge form, so that we can take care horizontally of any need that this community has. And see, they were right vertically, they were right horizontally, and God did something. People were being saved because I want to be a part of that community. Now, you look at our world today, and it feels like it's falling apart. It looks like it's falling apart. But if we are right vertically with God and we become right horizontally with God, people will know that's a safe community for me. I'll be loved. I'll be encouraged. I'll be accepted. I'll be tolerated. I'll be all of the things that we just read. But see, biblical community is God at the center, personally vertically, and corporately horizontally. But that's not where it ends. See, it can't just be internal. See, once we get right with God vertically and once we get right with each other horizontally, we've got to be outwardly focused. We've got to be outwardly focused. See, because if the community prospers, that's a good thing. And see, that's why God planted us here in Bennington for this community. One of the post-its that Christy puts on the kids' mirrors, she always puts a passage on the kids' mirrors to encourage them in their bathroom. And one is from Ruth. Perhaps this is the time that God has created you for. And I love that text because it says God's plan is that this is the moment, this is the time. God has us in Bennington. When we began this process over 3 years ago, we went all the way up to 204th, all the way down to like 80th Street. We were all over and we said, God, where do you want us? And one of our leaders said, you know, how about Bennington? And it was kind of said as a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It was God's divine plan that he would call us to this community so people could see the vertical and the horizontal and say, I want to be a part of that community. In fact, we should want this community to thrive and to prosper and to be successful academically, athletically, business, in every way. In fact, we read in Scripture that God calls us to that. It says this, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, for it's because if it prospers, you will prosper. Now, the Israelites were being carried into Babylonian captivity, and what God said is, if the city prospers, you prosper. Now, let's make sure we understand prosper. That prosper doesn't mean, man, we're going to be 5,000 people and 13 campuses, and I'm going to have a plane. Man, we're prospering. That's not prospering. Okay? Prosperity means that people are being saved, that people are coming into the community of faith of Jesus Christ, that they get right with God vertically, and then they continue to get right horizontally. That is prosperity. And that's the only prosperity that we want. That's the only prosperity that matters in the biblical community, is that we are right with God vertically and horizontally, and we're outwardly focused. So we say, okay, how do we get outwardly focused? What does that look like? Listen to what this text tells us from 1 John. This is what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has a material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It begins with love. It begins with loving this community. It begins by loving everything about this community and knowing this community and loving the people in this community and understanding this community. It begins with loving others. Jesus loved his community so much that he was willing to give his life for his community. Now, we may not be called to give our lives for this community, but aren't we called to live the way that Jesus lived, sacrificially and selflessly? Aren't we called to prioritize differently than the world prioritizes things? Aren't we called to say, you've put us in this community, and we want to serve this community, and we want to love this community, and we want to be a part of this community? That's why we're being radically relational, that we want to be a part of this community. That's why Joe is going up to Grinders every Thursday and making himself available to meet with kids. That's why we have a food ministry now in the back, that we're going to give you food today and say, take it to a neighbor. And just say, I just wanted to say good morning. Nobody turns away free, sweet food. Take it over to a neighbor. We took some over to our neighbor. Our neighbor wrote us a hand note. You know, we're building a relationship with our neighbors. You know, we've got to invest in the community. I was so humbled. I was asked to be a part of the Bennington School Foundation last night. And they had their big gala to raise money. And they asked me to do the invocation. This is a public school event. And I'm up there praying in the name of Jesus. Service is at 10 o'clock. You know? What I wanted to say was, party tonight, repent tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Pine Creek. We'll see you guys there. But we want to be a part of the community. But notice what this text says. it says that we've got to do it with action. We can't do it with words. Let me read this last line, because I had to read it multiple times. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth, which means we got to stop talking and start acting. We got to stop talking about what we're going to do, and we got to start doing what we're going to do. We got to stop thinking that our words is going to connect to the community. The community doesn't care what we know until they know that we care. It's a tripe, but man, it is a truism. Until this community knows that we care about this community, they don't care what we have to say about Jesus or anything else. And that's why we have to invest in the community in every possible way that we can with our actions. That's why Joe's at Grinders. That's why Lori's meeting with the kids. But we've got to do more. You've got to knock on doors to your neighbors and take over some food and just say, hey, this is from Grinders and Three Timbers, and we just wanted to say hello and welcome. That means getting involved in different things. And so we're done talking. We're going to give you five things that we want you to pray about. Five things where you can take action in this community to show this community that you love this community, that you are right with God vertically, we are right horizontally, and our focus is outward on the community, connecting people to the transforming and redeeming love of Jesus. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a Monday Thursday dinner, April 13th, at the Stumble Inn in the upper room, because nothing's more spiritual than the upper room at a bar, okay? We're going to have signups coming in a few weeks. It's a potluck, but here's the challenge. Bring your neighbor. Bring your neighbor. Say, how would you like a free meal at a bar? Bring them. Bring your neighbors to a free meal at a bar. It's the easiest in you're ever going to have with somebody. Bring them in. Number two, we are going to introduce to what many of you already know, we're going to introduce you to the teammates concept. Many of you are involved in teammates. Many of you know the teammates program, but we're going to introduce that concept to you and say, get involved in Bennington teammates. It's 1 hour a week. It's on campus with a student. It's an opportunity for you to invest in this community and make a huge difference in this community. Number three, as you know, we've been very blessed by Grinders with the food, and we're trying to distribute it, but there are a lot of great restaurants in the Bennington area. We're going to coordinate over the months to come that we're going to ask you on a certain Sunday to go to that restaurant or that coffee shop after church and give them business. Most of us go out for lunch after service. We're going to try to set up opportunities for you to go. We want to work with these businesses so that they're ready, they're prepared, they know we're coming. Because if the city prospers, so do we. And so we want to ask you to do that. A couple of other opportunities. I want to make sure I get these right. We've been approached about partnering and helping some youth sports teams. Youth sports is huge in this community. I've had the privilege to coach soccer, to coach basketball, and there are so many sports needs in this community that they have approached us to say, would you guys as a church be willing to help, whether that be financially or otherwise? And so we're going to explore that option. And the last thing, number five, is we're going to continue to expand our partnership with the Bennington School Foundation. There are some needs that they have for us actually to do something. It's not about giving our money, it's about giving our time. And that's what they need. That's what they need. One of the things I'm going to challenge us to do is to pray about. I was at that Bennington School Foundation last night, and you know who wasn't there? Teachers. There weren't many teachers there because they don't have the resources. What if we sponsored having some teachers come to that event? Would that make a difference for those teachers, that they could have a night out on us? We need to be thinking outwardly. Outwardly. How are we reaching the people? That's why we're going to be involved in Bennington Days. You know, we're going to have a float. We're going to be sponsoring the 5K 007 race again. And we're going to need volunteers. You know, we're going to need people to show up and to cheer and to clap and to set, because we've got to show this community that we love them, and we have to take action. The more action we take, the more people will be able to say, I want to hear this gospel. That Three Timbers, they're everywhere. We're asking for a commitment of love. See, biblical community is right vertically with God personally. It's right corporately with each other, and then it's outwardly focused. That is biblical community. And if we understand that and we live that, God will give us favor with the community, as we read in Acts, and he will add those to our numbers who are being saved, those who go from not knowing Christ to knowing Christ. Now, here's the last thing, and maybe you pick this up. If you take the vertical and you combine it with the horizontal, what do you get? You get a cross. And you need both. You can't just have one part to form the cross. You've got to have the vertical and you've got to have the horizontal. That's biblical community, and we go outward. We talked about this the other night at Brews and Q's, which I'd highly encourage you to come and be a part about. It's Theology on Tap. Grab a beer and we're going to talk about God. Again, great way to have your friends say, come have a beer and learn about Jesus. Or go up to Grinders or go up to Scooters and come meet Joe and have some coffee and a scone and learn about Jesus. We had this question, John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, and proves that Jesus loves football because it's at every football game. So you know God's a football fan. I mean, that's obvious. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have... Oh. Notice his love was action-oriented. God gave. God gave so others could be saved. Action-oriented love makes all the difference. And it's the final leg in biblical community. Outward action-oriented love. I was so grateful as I stood there fearing that I had hit a dog and there was going to be like a little 8-year-old girl running out, you know, have you seen Sparky? You know, that I was in a biblical community where people were so loving and so kind and said, it's okay, we'll work together, we'll get the jack, I'll get down on my hands and knees and I'll pull the... I mean, it was a great community. And I said, man, I don't ever want to go anywhere else. I love this community, that people would do that. And biblical community has the same context. Right with God vertically, right with each other horizontally, and outwardly focused. I'm going to ask Sarah and Rachel to come back up. And I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to really pray about, where are you at with God vertically? Where are you at in your relationship? Is God at the center of your life? Or is God just a part of your life? But is God at the center of your life? And you're right with God vertically. And how are you with the community here horizontally? Do you know everybody? But do you know everybody's story? Do you know where people are in their journey in life? What's going on in their hearts? See, when we're right vertically and horizontally, you watch what God will do. And are you a part of not talking, but taking action? Are you saying talk is cheap, actions speak louder than words? Are you a part of what God has called us to this community to do, to share with people the love of Jesus Christ? As we hear this song, let us reflect on being a biblical community.